I want to begin by thanking Melvin and warning other speakers that if Melvin finds out that he's leading singing, he is going to call the speaker and say, "What is your topic about?" so I can develop a song service that matches the topic. And the warning is, make sure you know what your topic is. And the thanks to Melvin is the thanks for taking the song service so seriously and providing me the encouragement that folks are taking the worship service seriously. By way of explanation for those who are visiting, I am not the regular evangelist here. I do serve as one of the elders, but this congregation uses the opportunity on the fourth Sunday evening to provide one of the men of the congregation an opportunity to speak, as well as various opportunities to provide invitations. And the idea is, as part of the growth of a congregation, you need to be developing the skills and the abilities of the members of that congregation. And this is an opportunity to do that. The lesson this evening is entitled Facing Life's Challenges as Daniel Did. And I came to this topic kind of a roundabout way because a couple of weeks ago, Sonny Sharp presented a lesson that dealt with the strength of the church and the fact that the church needs to grow and be strong. And I really want to commend Sonny for the job he did on that. And in that lesson, a thought occurred to me while he was talking that really one of the things that really needs to be emphasized in the strength of a local congregation is the strength of each member within that congregation. In thinking about that a little farther, one of the biggest challenges that I know I personally face is just the challenges of everyday life, both in the context of remaining faithful and living my life as the Christian ought to live it, but also at work. You've got different challenges that face you. You've got family responsibilities and things like that that are challenges that we need to face. And we're working together as brethren in the work of the Lord. There's also challenges and responsibilities. And I'm a big fan of character studies and looking at the examples of others. And I got to thinking about the example of Daniel. And I think if we really think about Daniel a minute, we realize that he started out, when we first hear about him, he's a youth. He's apparently from a fairly well-to-do family or affluent family in the sense that he was removed and transported to Babylon. But that does not change the fact that he found himself as a captive due to a war. He was a prisoner, and he was put in jail. And we saw from what the passage that Cameron read for us that he was immediately faced a challenge there in terms of what he was going to eat or not eat. And Cameron read through kind of how he resolved that. And Daniel's challenges didn't stop there. It went from there to learning to be an advisor. It went to being involved with the rule of Babylon. And it wasn't just down at the lower levels. At one point, he worked his way up to third in command. So he had a lot of authority, but he also had a lot of submission to the kings. And he served a total of four different kings, if I understand correctly. He had individuals who plotted against his life. He found himself in a situation where he's thrown in the lion's den and also in a furnace. So Daniel had challenges in his life, more challenges than we will have. But I think he will serve as an example for us. With that, I've already mentioned that he started off as a youth. And I've already mentioned that he rose to a position of preeminence among the wise men of Babylon. He was given great power over Babylon, and the citations on these are Daniel chapter 2, verses 48 and 49. And I'm going to have to be careful, or I'll end up reading the entire book of Daniel, which I don't intend on doing this evening. But in Daniel chapter 2, verses 48 to 49, it reads, "Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief prefect over the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained in the king's court." The similar situation happened with another king in Daniel chapter 5, 29. "Then Belshazzar gave the command, and Daniel was clothed in purple. A chain of gold was put around his neck, and a proclamation was made about him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom." So really, at this point, we ought to be thinking in our minds is, how did Daniel cope with these challenges that of the various positions of power and influence that he had? But he also found himself in positions of subservience. How did he do this without compromising his position as a godly man? Isn't that really kind of the thing that we face every day? Is how do we go through our days meeting the responsibilities that we have and do it in such a way that we don't compromise ourselves as Christians? Well, the first thing I'd like to notice that even as a young teenager, Daniel apparently knew what he wanted to do. In Daniel chapter 1, 8, it mentions that he purposed in his heart. Think about this a minute. We've got Daniel as a youth in a strange country, in prison. He's immediately faced with folks who are telling him that he's going to have to eat a strange diet of food that doesn't match with his religious beliefs. And he's faced with that choice that we all face to some degree. Do we stand up for our faith, or do we go along with the flow? He purposed in his heart to stand up, and he faced the challenge of how to address this situation. And in spite of his youth and the pressures to confirm, Daniel maintained his purpose in his heart to uphold the law of God. And as Cameron read, he exercised a fair deal of wisdom and tact in how he stood up for his faith. But he did that because he was willing to put God first. In verse 9 of chapter 1 of Daniel, it states that God granted Daniel favor in the sight of others. We're not exactly sure how that took place, but if you think back to a similar situation regarding Joseph in Genesis chapter 39, Joseph is in the same kind of situation where he was faced with the challenge of going with the flow or submitting to human traits or standing up for God and following God's, living his life the way God would want him to. Joseph also favorably impressed others. So we have two examples there of individuals that were purposing in their heart and how they should live. Now the question is this what the New Testament tells us? If we turn over to Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. That's Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. And while you're turning there, I'd like to recall to our memories, most people don't much care for somebody who's wishy-washy. You know, you really like to deal with somebody that you know where they're coming from, and you're pretty sure you know what they're going to say, when they're going to say it. You may not agree with them, You may disagree with what they're going to say, but you have to at least respect them if they stay to their word and are consistent. That breeds a level of respect. That's part of human nature. Now back to Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33. In this passage, starting in 31, Christ says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." Verse 33. "But seek the first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Doesn't that sound like what Daniel was doing? As a youth, he was in prison. He was in jail, and he had to make the decision between eat according to God's dietary laws or eat what the king was feeding everybody else, the easy way. To me, it sounds like he was seeking to do what's God's way. And that was his focus. That was his purpose. And he trusted in God to let everything else take care of itself. If we think about that a minute, just as Jesus promises that if we will seek the kingdom of God first, if we will purpose in our hearts to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the things that we need will be added to us. We will receive those. That implies strongly that if we seek the kingdom and seek righteousness, we will be guaranteed God's favor. And if we look at the example of Joseph and Daniel, and maybe some examples in your own lives, you'll see that by seeking God's righteousness and having purpose in our hearts to be faithful Christians, that likely that is going to gain us the additional, but not necessarily essential, benefit of the favor of the world around us. What I'm trying to say here, and I'm beating around the bush, is if we purpose in our heart to serve God, we will gain his favor. And very likely, we'll gain the respect and the favor of the world around us. They may disagree with us. They may think we're nuts. But if you're consistent, we'll gain their favor. And we see that throughout Daniel's life. That's not to say that there won't be enemies. So really the question that we have to start asking ourselves at this point is, are we going to live our lives the way David did? Are we going to purpose in our heart that we're going to seek God first? No matter how young we may be, or how easy it's going to be, or how hard it's going to be. Are we going to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first? Now throughout his life, we saw where Daniel, had this strong sense of purpose. But in addition to this purpose, he followed that up with a strong sense of principle. Purpose in saying, "I'm going to do this," doesn't count for much unless you've got the principle of saying, "I really am going to do this and I'm going to be consistent with it." As a young man, he refused to eat the king's meat and drink his wine. We saw that in the passage it was read. In Daniel chapter 5, verses 13 through 17, Daniel refused the gifts of Belshazzar. In fact, reading on that, picking up verse 13, "Then Daniel was brought before the king, and the king answered and said to Daniel, 'You are that Daniel, the one who of the exiles of Judah, whom the king my father brought from Judea. I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that the light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Sounds kind of like he had favor amongst the folks, doesn't it? Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not show the interpretation of this matter. But I have heard that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let's stop here and just ask a question. We started off talking about Daniel and his challenges he faced in life. You think Daniel might have been a little bit nervous in this situation? Kind of a stressful situation to be in, wouldn't it? But let's see what he says. Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourselves and give your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him his interpretation. So here we have an example of Daniel facing the challenge before him. He's not doing it for personal gain, apparently. Another example of Daniel's principles is in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. You remember the events where some of Daniel's peers were plotting against him, and they knew that he consistently said his prayers. So they had a law passed that made it illegal on punishment of death to pray to another god. Daniel 6 verse 10 reads, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in the upper chamber toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. There's a man of principle. He knew what the laws of the land said. He knew what he was supposed to be doing. And he had a habit and a practice of prayer. And he continued with that, knowing what the penalty would be if he got caught. Mentioned earlier that people admire persons of principle. Most people do. They may ridicule you for your particular principles, but at least they respect you for having principles and sticking with them. And you'll also find that when they've got a situation that they need somebody to be trusted in and depended on, they carry them through to that assigned task. Who do you think they're going to turn to? And thought just occurred to me that in Acts chapter 8 talks about the Ethiopian eunuch. Here was a man that was religious, a Jew out of Ethiopia, and he's in a position of trust and authority over the King Candace's treasury. An example of this concept. So we've got Daniel demonstrating examples of having purpose and principle. But there's another part of this, and it's actually a follow-through, if you think about it, to the idea of purposing to be true to God, a servant of His, and having the principle to stick to your guns. Daniel was also a man of purity. A man that has not been contaminated or corrupted. In Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps would give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all other high officials and satraps, because of excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel, with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint nor any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault could be found in him. That speaks volumes for the type of man Daniel was, doesn't it? I mean, he started off as a youth in prison, a captive of war, and demonstrating himself time after time after time, to finally the point that the king is looking for responsible people that he can trust to fulfill his will and do what he wants them to do, to take care of the king's business so that he doesn't suffer loss. And who does he turn to? He turns to Daniel. Says a lot about purpose in Daniel's heart, the principles that he exercised, and the purity at which he was able to achieve that and implement that. Of course, we need to remember what Daniel's purpose was. Daniel's purpose was not to please Darius directly. Daniel's purpose was to serve God. And by Daniel purposing in his heart and maintaining that principle, he ended up serving Darius, didn't he? To the point that Darius was pleased. But his main purpose, Daniel's main purpose, was to please God. And because of that purpose, and being a man of principle, he could be trusted by Darius. Now the question is, does that also apply for us as Christians today? Are we also expected to maintain a purity in our conduct? Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. In Titus chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in all your teaching, show your integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. And finally, in Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Bondservants are to be submissive to their masters in everything. They are to be willing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing in all good faith that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. In these three passages, we've seen that as Christians, we are expected to have maintain purity, whether we're young or old, whether we're slave or free. And in our culture today, that slave and free would actually translate into employee or employer. So we really need to remember that people who maintain their purity in their dealings with others are often given positions of responsibility and privilege. Because even the world can see they can be trusted. But we need to remember that this trust and this purity should be directed towards our service to God. Now, thinking on this concept a little bit about starting off with a purpose to serve God and the follow through of the principles of what you're going to do to maintain that purpose, and the follow through from next step of the purity and the consistency in that service to God. Is there something else that Daniel shows us that may play a role in that purpose that he had, the principle that he had, and the purity that he had? I would suggest yes, there is. And I think it was the fact that Daniel was a man of prayer. If we think back on his prayer life, we've already read Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. And in that passage, it was talking about after the document was signed that was making it illegal to pray to God, Daniel loads up and he continues to pray to God, just like he had before. So he was in the habit of praying to God. It mentions that he prayed three times a day, obviously a demonstration of his dependence on God. And also, if you go back and read through Daniel, you see that Daniel's prayers was not something that he started later in life. It's something that he had with him from the beginning, as a youth. Now again, the question is, it's Daniel. What does that apply for us as Christians today? We turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We often think of the passage, pray without ceasing. But how often do we stop and think about giving thanks in all circumstances? When tough things are happening in our lives, are we giving thanks for the things that we do have? In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it reads, continue steadfastly in prayer. Be watchful in it with thanksgiving. If in our efforts to live a purposeful, principled, and pure lives are not what they should be, could there be a correlation to it not being, we're not having the type of prayer life that we should have? Are we not spending enough time in communication with God? Is our faith not what it ought to be? In conclusion, if you ask a lot of people in the world what it takes to survive this world and to face the challenges of this world, you'll get answers that show there's a false assumption that the way to get ahead in this world is to play by the world's rules. What we've seen in the lesson this evening is that if we play by God's rules, if we purpose in our heart to do that, if we live our lives in a principled way and we have purity in our hearts, we won't avoid the challenges of this world, but we'll be able to survive them. And we will be able to thrive, and especially in the sense that we will have the favor of God, which is really what we ought to want. And quite likely that will also translate at times into the favor of men around us. So really what it comes down to for us, and this is where I was thinking about when we got started looking at the example of Daniel and the discussion that Sonny and I had after his lesson. Is for a congregation to be strong, the individuals in that congregation need to be strong. And also in that lesson was the idea that Sonny expressed it for himself, toward himself, and I agree with him completely because I strive to do the same thing myself, is that in preparing and looking at a lesson, I need all the help I can get. And the lesson this evening is for me as much as anybody else. And the lesson is really one of to be a strong Christian, to help this congregation be a strong congregation, to help the work of the Lord grow. I need to be strong. And looking at the example of Daniel, we can see the purpose that he had to serve God. We can see where he followed through with the principles and strove to live his life by those principles. And that he did it, and that he had purity in his life. And that he apparently depended very, very heavily on prayer with God. So the question for us is, are we as fully purposed in our life to serve God as we ought to be? Have we already obeyed the gospel? Are we as principled as we ought to be? Are we striving to serve God to the best of our ability? What about the purity in our lives? Is there some sin that we need to repent of on an individual one-on-one with God, or maybe before the congregation if it's a public nature? And finally, is our prayer, our communications with God, what it ought to be? Some thoughts to think about as I encourage you, if the answers that you came up with to those questions indicate that you need to come forward as we stand and sing, I encourage you to do so, and let us as a congregation help provide the support for you. And I encourage us all to give some thought to the issues of, are we as strong as we can be? Are we do we need to increase the purpose in our lives, the principles that we're trying to live by, and the purity that we're living by, and the prayers, is our life, if our prayers to God is what they ought to be? Again, if the invitation applies, please come as we stand and sing.